America tonight, getting ready to kick off another crazy week at the tail end of January. Do you believe it? We bagged 1 month in 2014. The president readies for his State of the Union address. Heavy focus on immigration. Interesting, since the head of Homeland Security is saying illegals have earned the right to be citizens. What do you think? I'm going to roll the dice and say, at least 60% of you or more, I'm going to say maybe 60 to 95% of you are going to disagree with that statement, but we'll flush that out a little bit more. Speaking of being flushed out, the people in Minnesota are being strung out as it is a whiteout, freezing conditions in the mothership land, the homeland. I was on a plane in coming back from Hawaii just a few hours ago and sat near a couple from Minnesota who didn't even have any gate information. So they figured, well, we're spending some time in Dallas in a layover, knowing how awful it was in talking to people back there in Minnesota. And, of course, Matt Johnson, who is manning the ship right now, was telling me right before we went on the air just how awful it is. Matt, what is the temperature there, and what's the problem? Is it winds? Is it snow? What is it? We've lost Matt. He's probably blowing down the hallway. Before we got on, he talked about the fact that it was like a whiteout, and he was saying that there was big concerns. Everything is closed down. A lot of businesses are closed down. Once again, schools are closed. You know, you wonder how long these kids are going to be going to school. It's like the kids in the Northeast, in New Jersey and the New York area, they're saying already, and I think I've mentioned this before, they're into June. They're into June, end of June, by the time they get out. Right now, I think it's up to like June 25th or something like that. It could be into July. Isn't that crazy? Because they've had so many snow days. So as we grab a hold of all the nuggets out there, I want to make sure that we hit them all. I think the big thing politically is going to be Obama's State of the Union address and this whole thing with immigration. Also, another shooting. This time it's in a mall. So what is the deals there? The deal there, it's about the motives. What is the motive? And the motive they still don't know, apparently. And this was in Maryland where they had this mall shooting. While some people are dealing with weather, in Maryland they were once again shaking their heads. Two people at a Maryland mall were killed. And people, you know, ducked, ran for cover, didn't know what to do. This is becoming all too familiar in our culture. A teenage skateboarder who had no criminal record all of a sudden shows up at a mall, has a shotgun, tons of ammunition, a backpack filled with explosives, homemade varieties, and decides that he's going to shoot. Darian Aguilar took a cab to the mall in Columbia. It's a suburb in Baltimore. Happened Saturday morning. Went in near a shop that sold skateboarding equipment. Went downstairs to a food court below the store. Then returned an hour later, dumped the backpack in a dressing room, and started shooting. What could this possibly be about? Shoppers panicked. Some barricaded themselves. What do you do? When the cops came, they had three people dead. Two people in the store and this Aguilar who had killed himself. And what are people saying? Just a nice teenager, quiet, graduated from high school, had no prior records, and they're trying to piece together what could this motive be? What could drive this kid to do that? And people so far are coming up empty. They're stunned. Quiet, nice, friendly. That's it. No indication that he was in a black mood, that he had problems with somebody. None of that. So we'll see. Ultimately, I hope something does emerge, because the only way that we'll ever know how to try to attack some of these mental health issues is to get to the bottom of what's going on with people out there that where this is happening. So once again, a mall shooting on a Saturday morning sends people scurrying for cover, a very busy time when people are running errands and easily could have been victimized if they had happened to walk into that store. Mostly you're going to get teenagers, but their parents too as well, that could have been in a skateboarding kind of shop. Very, very sad. What a way to kick things off, eh? And I say it all the time, but it's true. So now you have malls, schools, churches, restaurants, public places where you just wouldn't think about that. Now more than ever, people just have to be diligent about looking around. In this case, there's no way you would think this. He's a skinny, quiet teenager skateboarder kid. He comes in, goes into a dressing room. Are you thinking he's going to come out and start shooting people? And the answer is no. I don't think so. As I promised, we will jump around. So we're talking about a couple of different things, including this one that made big news. When I was in Hawaii, I saw a lot of cruise ships come into Lahaina, you know, in this town in Maui. And one of them was one of those Royal Caribbean cruise line boats. So this boat, the Royal Caribbean cruise line on Sunday, ended a 10-day trip early because hundreds of passengers and some of their crew, too, got sick. What is going on? And, you know, cruises couldn't be more popular. People missing, people falling off of the boats, people getting sick, the boats having problems in some cases. So the Centers for Disease Control got on the Explorer of the Seas during the Virgin Island part of where they were headed to investigate what it was, to figure out what the outbreak was. So once they had an illness like this, then that's it. Your cruise is over. 281 people. That's like 10% of the over 3,000 people that were on this boat. It was 15-deck ship. Got sick. 22 crew said they were sick, felt ill, thrown up, all that kind of stuff. And it really spiked over the weekend. So they had said they had cleaning products, they had disinfectants, all that stuff. They sanitized everything. And they're trying to figure out what happened on the Explorer of the Seas. I tell you, the most important person at a cruise company is whoever does their PR, whoever their spokesperson is. Because they're constantly on call for these crazy things that happen on these boats where they have to answer questions. So what is it? Does it make you want to take a cruise? Even if the weather's bad outside, do you want to really take a cruise and take the risk? Ah, me oh my oh. Kate Delaney, back at the helm. See you in a few. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, January 17, 2014. Gold opened this morning at $1,244.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,290.28, $645.14 for a half ounce, or $322.57 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,290.28, $645.14, and $322.57.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free. 800-686-2237.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Joining us in our virtual green room, there's kind of a double entendre going on there, and you'll find out why, is Peter Leeds. He's the publisher of Peter Leeds Penny Stocks. And you've probably checked him out. You've probably seen him on NBC, CBS. If I listed all his credits, we'd be here for an hour. And we thought it'd be fun to kick this around with Peter since we've talked about it a lot here on America Tonight. What will the economic effects be in Colorado, especially, of the legalization of marijuana? And there are a lot of other states considering the same thing. Hey, Pete, thanks for coming on the show.
Anytime.
So you see what's happening in these just, you know, a week and a half, however it's been longer than a couple weeks, the lines wrapped around the pot dispensaries and whatnot. The price of marijuana in Colorado, they are making money hand over fist. Do you think when some of these other states considering legalizing marijuana see this, they are chomping at the bit, even if they don't want to say it, because they know they can make money on the taxes?
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I mean, this is just sort of pricking a needle into a balloon. This is the first, you know, of the phase of change in the social dynamic that it's just more, people are more likely to be willing to have the recreational marijuana. They're going to get it started here, and they're going to find out that it doesn't actually have that negative of an effect that a lot of people were worried about, but at the same time, it'll be a big benefit to the economy.
The you know, when we talk about the economics of it in a different way, when we look at it from the stock point of view, looking at recreational marijuana, What about marijuana stocks? Because I bet there's some people listening to us that don't even realize that they exist.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's two different things here. There's, you know, the lineup at the store of people going in to buy marijuana. That's one thing. The shop itself will do great. But then there's a lot of companies that are listed on the stock market that are, most of them are penny stocks that deal in different aspects of the marijuana industry. And what's happening is a lot of these stocks are actually being driven up in price because it's a hot button issue right now. But it's kind of a dangerous situation where some of these stocks are going from, you know, a couple of cents a share to 20 cents a share in a matter of months. And the actual underlying companies are financial train wrecks. And a lot of people are going to get burned if they invest in these companies.
Yeah, as you say, that they're going to get burned. So how are they going to get burned? Because it's kind of a false sense of what's happening?
Well, it's a, the stocks are dramatically overvalued. You've got stocks that are going from 3 cents to as high as 19 cents in the time of 1 month, and you're looking at a company that is bleeding cash at a tune of $16 million a year. Now, this is just an example, and, you know, this is a company, I don't want to name the name, but this specific company is, like I said, bleeding cash at $60 million a year, but they're only making revenues of $36,000. So, I mean, this is a company that deserves a market cap of maybe $1 million or less, but their market cap is about $92 million. They're just overpriced. This is like people are chasing these stocks because they think it's going to be the next big thing. And just, you know, marijuana will become more common, but the actual companies that are positioning themselves to be beneficiaries of the marijuana craze, they're being overvalued by ridiculous amounts, and they're just not good investments.
If you had to compare it to something else where people just jumped on it and went crazy and they weren't really doing their homework and seeing what the pure play was, I guess, on marijuana stocks and seeing how overinflated they were, what would you compare it to? Because we've certainly seen things like that come down the pike besides marijuana.
You know, maybe you've heard of Bitcoin. I mean, it's something yeah. that a lot of people are getting involved with, and it's probably not going to be worth as much now. I mean, a few months from now as it is now. You know, you're looking at a dot-com bubble. You're talking about sometimes nanotech. It's a cycle. I've seen this many times where this is, you know, the latest hot button thing. Everybody is getting involved with one thing, and the price gets driven up to ridiculous amounts. And what happens is every time, it just after people sort of get tired of it or they get over the hype and it drops back down to reality, the stock prices come back down. And people who get in late are the ones who will get burned the most.
The for people listening who don't know, explain penny stock. Explain what that is.
Well, technically, it's any stock that trades at $5 or less per share. You know, but as people know, stocks can be fractional penny stocks, where it's a fraction of a penny for one share. We specialize in stocks at $2 and under per share. But I mean, I've been looking at the financials of all these marijuana-related companies, and just about all of them are financial train wrecks to the point where, you know, your local drug dealer probably has a better financial position than most of these companies. And, you know, everybody's getting involved with them now, but the problem being that a lot of people who don't know any better think that they're going to take, you know, a few hundred dollars and make it into many thousands of dollars. And so they're jumping on the boat, but this is a boat with a lot of holes in it, and it's probably going to sink.
Yeah. Do you did you get a lot of calls in the beginning on this because of the excitement over it?
Oh, yeah. Many, many calls, you know, on my Facebook page and through the newsletter. Everyone has been asking me about, you know, which marijuana stocks do you like and should we invest? Is now a good time, you know? And the thing is, a lot of these marijuana stocks, related stocks, have increased dramatically in price. It's not justified. And I think when people see, wow, this stock went from 3 cents to 30 cents, they think, wow, I should get involved with this before it goes to 60. But the point is, most people are going to get involved when it's around 30 cents. It's going to come back down. You know, it's the peak. And I'm worried that a lot of investors are actually going to lose a lot of money on trying to get in on this marijuana stock craze.
Are you seeing is it in any particular area? I mean, are you seeing that people are flooding the market for information more from where it's happening, like Colorado, because they see the lines and the hype is even bigger there? Or, it could be anywhere.
What I'm seeing is that, you know, marijuana is in the news, and it's centralized in terms of being legalized for recreational use in Colorado, but it's all over America. People are looking to invest in marijuana stocks. So, you know, it's something that happened in one place that is affecting people from all over the nation who are just trying to get in on this craze. And this is an example of how far this sort of stampede has gone, that, you know, you get somebody from Hawaii or somebody from Florida or New York who, you know, across the board, people are just, their interest is pointed in one direction. And I'm just, you know, cautioning people, because as a businessman, as a stock market analyst, quite frankly, a lot of the financial positions of most of these companies, I actually find quite offensive.
Yeah, when you say that, explain that. Offensive because people are being manipulated?
No, more like, you know, a lot of these companies are in such bad financial shape that anyone who took the time to look into it would know never to invest in these companies. They're looking to you know, make the most out of their limited funds, but they're putting it into companies that, you know, they are burning through tens of millions of dollars every 3 months. They have tens of millions of dollars in debt, and some of these companies have anemic revenues to the tune of a few thousand dollars. You know, it's preposterous. They, you know, they've got, a lot of them have 5 to 10 times as much owing as they actually have in assets. It's just a matter of time until there's problems. I mean, some people don't remember that or wouldn't realize that there used to be hundreds of car companies in the United States. A lot of car makers. Now there's three. The reason is that almost all of them went bankrupt.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we do remember that, Pete. And remember, everybody got hysterical over that. And then you saw, obviously, the government bailout, and then the reaction to that. And you saw what happened. And now we're seeing a company like Ford, what's happened there. So it's interesting. Would you tell somebody, because when we talk about diversity in portfolios, and I'm not a stockbroker and I don't give stock advice, but from what I think is, people don't do enough homework on their own. Do you tell people to do that, to just check into, just look into the background of a stock a little bit more? Because you said that when you talked about marijuana. If they just did a little bit of homework, they would know, right?
Well, that's absolutely right. I mean, every stock that we analyze, we put through what's called the 29-point leads analysis process to make sure that it's good on every level in terms of management, revenues, financial ratios, everything. And we try to teach people how to also do the same for themselves. So, you know, you want to learn how to look at a company, especially when you're dealing with speculative stuff, speculative penny stocks. You want to look at every issue that could possibly be, you know, a benefit or a problem. That, you know, the bigger something is, the more energy it takes to move it, and vice versa. A penny stock, you know, usually these companies are so small and frail and vulnerable that a single issue could actually derail the whole investment, whether it's the loss of one customer or a lawsuit or the loss of a key manager. So you have to make sure that you have your eyes on every aspect of the company if you're going to actually put your money into it.
Yeah, Peter Leeds, thank you so much. If somebody wants to get a copy of your Peter Leeds, you know, stuff that you send out, how do they do that? Because you're the publisher of that, obviously, and you've got a huge subscription base.
Yeah. Either if, you know, if they're interested in that or the published books I have, you can just zip by peterleeds.com and everything is there
right
for
there.
You.
Excellent. Thanks, Pete.
Thanks a lot, Kate.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters, for the love of clean water.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388. Or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High-protein, high-energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Fellow and director of the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute. He's wrote a great piece that's up on Huffington Post about Iraq. And, of course, we've been talking about the situation there since the very beginning here on ATN. And part of the piece, and one of the things that Ivan says, before we go to him, I'm going to read this for you. U.S. intervention in the first place, not abandonment, is the real problem. The U.S. 13-year nation-building intervention in Afghanistan after 9/11 destabilized nuclear-armed Pakistan, which created the Pakistani Taliban. And then he goes further in the piece to talk about Iraq, that's been an artificial country since the British created it after World War One to get its oil. Bingo! The light goes off, and we've talked about the three different factions, the religious factions in the region, and the problem in the first place in being in the middle of that. And so, Ivan, I think you hit the head on the nail, and certainly you're well-schooled in this, have talked about it many times in pieces that you've written. But you say Obama, this is the title of it, Obama should be careful of a slippery slope back into Iraq. What did you mean by that?
Well, I think we're already headed down that slope. It may not go to fruition. I don't know. But there's danger because, you know, anytime you go in and you try to remodel a country with military force, you're kind of always on the hook if something goes wrong there. Everyone looks to you to go back in. You know, the French handle their colonial possessions, former colonial possessions in Africa. The British handle affairs in their you know, former colonial possessions. And then you have America, which has done all these interventions all over the world. People look to us, well, hey, country A is now falling apart. Well, we got to go back in there. So we may not go back in right now, but certainly they're ramping up aid to the government because they're very scared that we spent years training these security forces after Rumsfeld and Paul Bremer dismantled the Iraqi military, which is a big mistake, you know, after we invaded the country. We created a military, but it's still not doing very well against these al-Qaeda fighters who started in Iraq, went over to Syria, got seasoned in the civil war there, and now are back in Iraq again. And of course, if we remember it, you know, the funny thing about U.S. policy is Americans don't seem to have long memories because we always forget that we helped either create or encourage our enemies before we had to fight them. And a lot of times they're our allies, or we unwittingly created al-Qaeda, for example, by funding the Soviet, the Mujahideen against the Soviets in the 80s, right? That turned into al-Qaeda. Well, you know, there's countless examples of where the U.S. has intervened, and then it's come back to bite the U.S. And if you look at the three interventions that we've done recently, Libya, Iraq, and Afghanistan, we've just made messes of every country. They were better off before we got there. And it was pretty bad in Afghanistan with the Taliban. It was pretty bad in Iraq with Saddam Hussein. And it was pretty bad in Libya with Gaddafi. But they were autocratic societies. But if you played by the rules, you know, you could survive. Now they have chaos and people are being, you know, shot in the streets, you know, random violence, which is the worst possible thing, right? So there are things worse than autocracies, and we've managed to bring them about. So our interventions are always fraught. We try to bring democracy, at least ostensibly, but in reality, we see in various places when our interests go against democracy, we either overthrow democratic governments, which we've done at least five times, and probably more if I stop to think about it, since the end of the Cold War. And also, sometimes we don't stick up for democracy. And the Arab Spring, we've had very mixed approach to that. But so the democracy rhetoric often masks interests that we're trying to, you know, promote by using military force. But the problem is there are so many unforeseen consequences. And of course, Iraq is probably the biggest example of that. Nothing went right, and now it's falling apart as predictably it would, because once you pop the top off of an artificial country, it was only ruled by a strong man, and it was politically incorrect to say, well, is Iraq ready for democracy? But of course, it wasn't, and it still isn't. And they had this sham democracy, and all the Shiite government is now oppressing the Sunnis in retribution for when the Sunnis oppressed the Shia. And so there's no climate of political compromise. You have to be willing to compromise to have a functioning democracy, and they really don't.
And so as you see this and you watch this, from afar, and you talk about this too in your book, and you mention it in the piece, that why weren't the three groups negotiated with? Why didn't they just give them? I mean, isn't that part of the deal in the Middle East? It's a land grab, and it's thousands of years of history. And then when you throw in our form of democracy, and you just explained it, it doesn't mix out correctly. Isn't there a better way to do this, as you suggest, to just partition the country off?
Well, of course, the best thing to do would have never gotten into the problem in the first place by not intervening in a lot of these places. But once we were in, I wrote this book a few years ago called Partitioning for Peace, an Exit Strategy for Iraq, which is still very applicable. And I said if they don't partition this country in a soft way, that is by the groups doing the hard negotiations to divide up the country, then they're going to have to do it by a hard partition, meaning by war. And, of course, that's now what's happening. Effectively, the country has been partitioned, and that's what we're seeing. There's three sort of areas with the different ethnic groups that sectarian groups, as you will. There's the sectarians, Arabs, the Sunni Arabs, and then the Kurdish, the Kurds who are Sunnis, but they're not Arabs. So you have three major groups there. And, you know, if this had been done when the U.S. was still there, you know, this negotiated under the U.S. auspices, under the military occupation that the U.S. had, I think that probably would have been the best thing to do. You could either make a divide into three countries, or if that would threaten Turkey too much, you could have a loose confederation. You'd still call it Iraq, but the security and the justice system would be provided by each region, so that you wouldn't have, like you do now, you have Shiite security forces and you have their Shiite justice imposed on Sunnis or other groups, right? And you also, yeah, if you have a weak central government, if it's a loose confederation, you don't have the groups fighting over the central government. These groups have seen what happened during Saddam Hussein's period, and even before that, Iraq was ruled by the Sunni minority. When they see a strong government, everybody wants to get control of the government because they know the government's going to be used to oppress the other two groups, right? So if you have a weak central government, then nobody wants to take it over because it's weak. You know, you have the justice and you have the security forces in the regions, and you may have a free trade area economically. So Iraq would still be a country, but it would just be a loose confederation of those regions, and they would all have a common market, which, you know, that might be doable. But that didn't happen, and so now we're down to the warfare. Now, of course, after the war is over, and there probably will be another civil war there, maybe you could do this, you know, after everybody's tired of fighting. But right now, it doesn't look very good for Iraq at all, I don't think.
Yeah, and you specifically point out the statistics at the top, 4,000 American lives gone, lost, and more than $1 trillion in taxpayer dollars that are thrown out the window. And Americans don't have the stomach for this anymore, do they, Ivan?
No, I don't think. I think they're war weary because they've been told that every war we fight is necessary. Like, why do we need to go into Libya? I mean, you know, Muammar Gaddafi was actually playing ball with the West. He had gotten rid of his nuclear program and that sort of thing, and we really didn't need to take him out. And in fact, if you're Iran, you're looking at what happened to Saddam Hussein and Gaddafi, who didn't have nuclear weapons, and then you look at how we gingerly treat North Korea, who probably has obtained a nuclear weapon. Well, what do you do if you're Iran? You try to get a nuclear weapon, right, to keep the U.S. out and that sort of thing. So I think a lot of these interventions are really counterproductive, and we really ought to think about, you know, the Libyan thing just seems like France wanted to do it, and so Obama went along with it sort of reluctantly. But you know, and then Bush started the other two for whatever reasons. But, you know, they weren't very good reasons. And I think that the U.S. has a huge military. And when you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail, right? Or is it,
yeah,
if you have a nail, everything looks like a hammer. I don't know. Anyway, whatever it is, but you know what I mean. You know what I mean? I mean, we tend to use military power too much because we have a big military and we like to use it. But you can't reform or remodel societies with the military because they're foreign cultures. They have different cultures, and not all of them are going to be receptive to democratization, if that's truly your goal, rather than just grabbing oil or, you know, grabbing something else that you want.
Yeah. Ivan Elin, thanks. Always a pleasure to have you on the show. Check out his blog on the Huffington Post. Thanks, Ivan.
Thank you.
Great news, Pure Water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy viruses. byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Tonight, one of our favorites, Nazir Chansab, who really has enlightened us about Afghanistan, and he's got a book coming out that's called Silent Trees, a Novel of Afghanistan. Nazir, thanks so much for joining us back on ATN.
Thank you very much for having me.
So you certainly know this, that there's lots of conversations about what's happening in Afghanistan and what's going to happen at the end of 2014. Let's start there. Let's get your take on what's happening at this point with the United States withdrawing and NATO allies as well. There's some confusion over that. As you know, Hamid Karzai hasn't officially signed the agreement, even though all the tribal elders agreed to it, over 200 plus, but he hasn't signed it. As somebody who loves Afghanistan, saw what the country was, saw what happened, saw, you know, you've seen what's going on now. What are your feelings as all of this is happening?
My take is that most of the people are very worried about it, and people don't understand why Karzai is doing what he's doing. People believe that he is keeping the future of Afghanistan and of the U.S. And of the relationship with the U.S. hostage because of some private reasons that he has.
Do you think Afghanistan is better off or worse than it was 12 years ago?
I think Afghanistan is more or less the same, in the same condition as it was. It is a broken country. It's a failed state. It cannot pay its bill. It cannot secure its security. no economy to speak of. So it needs very badly help from the international community. And what Mr. Karzai does is basically telling the international community to get out.
Yeah, and then what? And then there, of course, the you go back to what happens with the Taliban, what happens to the people in the villages. And I guess this is a great question to ask you. A lot of people, Nazir, as you know, don't really understand Afghanistan, and they try to compare it to other countries in the Middle East. What is different about Afghanistan compared to, let's say, the situation that we went through in Iraq?
Well, number one, Afghanistan does not belong to the Arab Middle East. It's not an Arab country. It's the Afghans are not Arabs. Secondly, they speak another language. They speak Farsi or Pashto. Thirdly, the communality is, of course, religion. They are they have the same religion. It's an Islamic country. It used to be a very tolerant country. It accepted the other. It's accepted differences. But now, under the pressure of war and poverty, and elements that have become very fundamentalistic, it has become religiously intolerant country.
Yeah. When you were growing up and compared to what you've seen, how tough is that to watch? Because, you know, you think in America we have freedom of speech, and as much as we can complain and are furious about some of the things that we see happening in Washington and we don't like votes and on certain things, still there is a freedom about being in the United States. Is it tough to see what's happened in Afghanistan for you?
Well, may I tell you something that I experienced myself about 6 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
I was in Kabul. I was on TV, and the interviewer asked me about the project, and the project has completely failed, and I said so. And then he asked, "So who is responsible?" I said, "The minister himself was responsible, because he has to accept responsibility for his ministry." And by the time the minister is a warlord, by the time I came home, I had a call from the Ministry of Interior, and I was told that I was too tough with this man, and they gave me a number so that I could call if something happened.
Wow.
So as far as the freedom of talk is concerned and giving your opinion freely, it's not what you have here.
Yeah, wow, that's interesting. Giving you a number if you have any problems, that has to make you feel very, very uncomfortable, I would think.
Well, they actually felt that the man would come in and either beat me up or kill me or do something with me.
Wow.
Nothing happened, but they were worried about it.
Right. In the news, obviously, lately, and all of us have been talking about this, and we're supposed to get him on the show, the former defense secretary, Robert Gates, wrote a book almost 600 pages long. It's called Duty Memoirs of a Secretary at War. And in it, as you know, he writes that President Obama doesn't believe in his own strategy and doesn't consider the war in Afghanistan to be his. For him, it's all about getting out. When you heard what Gates had to say, what did you think about that?
I thought about two things. Number one, that you are getting it from the horse's mouth, that things have not worked out in Afghanistan. Secondly, I don't agree with President Obama. He made Afghanistan his policy when he called it the right war, the proper war, the just war, and then sent more troops. He brought the troop level, American troop level, to 100,000, and introduced a new strategy over there. He actually made the war to be his war.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in seeing this and the skepticism and then reaction from the administration, and even the VP said that, you know, Gates said that Gates holds him responsible for poisoning the well against the military leadership and all that kind of stuff. There is heavy suspicion, and there are certainly a lot of questions about military leaders, and I think that comes with the territory, especially when it comes to Afghanistan, and especially as we've seen going through a couple of different generals there in Afghanistan. But I know from the people that we've had on this show where, Nazir, we've had some of the most wonderful people who served in Afghanistan again and again, a couple of different tours, and they told me that the people in the villages really appreciated what the Americans were doing and trying to help with water or trying to help in some of the more poorer areas with roads or that kind of thing. Do you think that's pretty accurate as far as the people are concerned?
I think it's pretty accurate. The problem is really in the government itself at the highest levels. Those are the people who should partner with the United States, and the United States, I believe, has had no partner in Afghanistan from the beginning, because the government was formed by the drug lords and the drug kingpins and warlords, and they are the product of chaos. They don't believe in the rule of law. They have thrived and become powerful and rich and chaos. They would like to keep it that way.
Yeah. Tell us about your novel. I don't want to let you go without knowing about the novel Silent Trees, a novel about Afghanistan. Tell us about it. What's the gist of this?
Well, it's the story of a number of characters who live under a dictatorship, and it tries to show what lack of freedom does to people, how it forms their characters, how it forms their relationship to each other, and ultimately how it destroys them. This is a story, and I was hoping that Americans would read it. And at the end, would think, thank God, we live here, and become aware of the freedom they have, of the good life they have, and try not to take it for granted, and be on guard for it.
Yeah, so well said. Do you feel that way? You've been here, you left Afghanistan in 1975, and while you go back and try to help the people, how do you feel about the United States?
I feel very well. I live in a wonderful state, in a wonderful area. My children grew up here, and what we did with coming to the United States is we got stability. Freedom and stability, and that's a great thing to have in life.
Boy, no kidding. Nazir Shansab, please, everybody pick up this novel. And I love his sentiment about appreciating more what we have here in the United States. You can get it on Amazon. And remember, Silent Trees. And Nazir, we wish you the best with the book, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you very much, kid. Thank you for being so kind.
Thank you. Have a great night. Bye-bye.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.